بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is reported in a hadith, at the turn of a century, Allah Ta'ala sends a revivalist. What is the work of the revivalist? For a 100-year period, there may be a lot of misconcepts. People may have misconstrued things. People may have added things, deleted things. So the one that is coming to revive, then he shows the right goals, he shows the right objectives, he shows the right ends. That is his work. So to clear up all the additions, all the misunderstandings, all the extras that came in, so he clears it out and he brings it back onto course. Now this is exclusive with Islam. And the reason why it is exclusive with Islam is because amongst the unique, exclusive favors that Allah Ta'ala has given to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one is this, that he is the Khatamun Nabiyyin. He is the seal of all the prophets, all the Nabis, the galaxy of Anbiya that came in. So he is the seal, he is the end. When he is coming to end this entire galaxy, this entire series, then his plan must work right till the end of time. So it must transcend time, place, peoples, communities. It must go right till the end. So his method, his way, the system that he has presented must transcend everything. So man requires some type of a reminder. From time to time he requires a reminder. So when the Nabi came and he's gone, he left. So his deputies will come up and they will remind, they will get people back onto the cause. Now if you look at Christianity and Judaism, then they messed everything up. I was speaking to one pastor. So he says to me that there is no such a thing like law in Christianity. For a moment I was shocked. There's no such a thing like, when you say law, no haram, halal, nothing. Everything and anything can work. So long as you believe in two things, right? One is you must believe that Christ died for you. And the second is you must come and confess your gunas. You are a pakka Christian. Now there's no law, absolutely no law. Now this is a pastor is telling me. He's been in Christianity, he's lived Christian, he's learned Christianity. So there's absolutely no law, nothing like halal and haram. Nothing like faraz, wajib, mustahab, sunnah, nothing, absolutely nothing. So you see how they distorted the religion. Now, that religion had to be distorted because it had an expiry date. Right? It came only for a limited time. So after that, it was expired. And if you want to take something that is expired, it's going to be proving fatal. It can be dangerous. It's expired, kalas, expiry date. Same thing happened with Judaism. For an expiry date, at the expiry date, it's ended. So then people will be practicing Judaism, but what they will do is, they will just try to show that they are conforming. Outwardly, they must conform. And the spirit of conformity will be dead, but outwardly, they must just show that they are conforming. Like a simple thing, in Judaism is, وَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ لَا تَعَدُوا فِي السَّبْتِ. Maintain the sanctity of the Sabbath. لَا تَعَدُوا فِي السَّبْتِ. So in the maintaining the sanctity of the Sabbath, they were not supposed to be lighting anything, setting anything alight. Now they understood, now anything alight is a dangerous thing now. This age, to be living without garam garam samosas and bhajiyas is a difficult thing. So now, they made a plan, see. So, outward conformity, whether you're conforming or you're not conforming, that's irrespective. So outwardly it may seem that you conform. So now how they bring about that outward conformity, from the Friday, they switch all the lights switched on. All the lights are switched on. So, you know, you ask literally, no, he didn't switch anything on. Literally, he didn't switch anything on because he left it switched on from the Friday. Come the Saturday, Sabbath, he didn't do anything. Same, that fishing story. If you look at the fishing story, and this exactly fitting in like a glove. So in everything they did it. And some friend of mine was visiting me yesterday or the day before. So he's telling me, but this thing exists up to this day. So I said, how do they fix up the stove then? All right, I understood. They switch on the lights. That I understood. But then how they fix up the stoves? No, Mora, what they do is they have gas stoves and they have leave it at light, very low, and they carry on. So they get the chai, everything is working. So outwardly it will just conform. Now this will also happen with Islam as well. If they brought these distortions, these additions to their religion, this will happen in Islam as well. And it's happened. And this is the work of the revivalist. He must come and revive. Correct. Take out that and bring this. Take out and chop out and bring the right thing. Chop out and bring out the right thing. You have to do it all the time. Until he brings Islam in its pure form. Pristine purity, he has to bring it. Like, for example, we've got a thing like Urus, right? We hear about it. Right? But if you look at the origins of Urus, right, the origins are right. The origin, when it started off originally, you may get a shock, now, hey, is this a Khanka or is it Urus Sharif Karigud? Right. But if you look at the origins of that Urus Sharif, it was right. Now how it started off is, now a saintly figure had passed away. Right. As he passed away, amongst his following, there were three classes. The first class were those who had perfected everything, like his khulafa, they understood the whole thing. They were firm, they were staunch, they understood, and they got to grips. So the Shaykh also endorsed them that they are my khalifas, he endorsed them. So he had a level of confidence in them. He invested his confidence in these people that you're listening to them, you're listening to me. They are so identical to my pattern, to my teachings, they have soaked themselves, they have drowned themselves into my system. So their ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, their association and connection with Allah Ta'ala is very strong. And it's very unlikely that they will break. Originally when they would give khilafat, they wouldn't just give khilafat so easily. The person must be so staunch, like the staunchness must be like irreversible. Imagine a person is mature, can you reverse it, make him immature? Imagine a mango has become ripe. Can you make it green? So they would only confer the khilafat when they brought the person to that point where he can't be reversed. Now some of the standards have come down. Because they say, now you're going to wait for that. We're not going to get anybody coming in. And in the meanwhile, we need to get the work going. So all right, we see this person here, he will conform. It's expected. Inshallah, if he carries on, then he will have the same type of connection with Allah Ta'ala. It's expected in him, right? So they have dropped the standards because of the weakness of people, right? Like if you look at many tabi'in, right? Like Zayn al-Abidin, right? He's reading 1,000 rakats daily. In one recorded history I've seen, forget about Zayn al-Abidin, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, the zalim of this ummah, he used to perform 200 rakats a day. Any of you can do it. One day, maybe Ramzan time, you'll try and push it, right? But can you continue? No, alright, he was zalim, that is in its place, but he was doing 200 rakats a day. So the standards were very high then, very, very high, right? About 150 years ago, the standards in many khanqas was that you must make 125,000 zikr daily. many khanqahs. Now they say, hey, you're doing Bharat Tasbih, mashallah. No, you never stop. At any day, you never feel doing it. Mashallah. An achievement, congratulations. From 125,000 to 1,000, and you're congratulating the person. See how weak you have gone. So the standards have gone weak, people understand. But they know also that they need to connect you to Allah Ta'ala. So they can't just leave you. Somehow make a plan for the person, bring him on. If he can't be like the original, somewhere near at least. At least he's imitating, coming in. So now, that Buzurg that passed on, as he passed on, then he would have left three types of people. Amongst his following, there would be three types. One was those that were very strongly rooted. So the connection with Allah Ta'ala was so strong, like it was irreversible. You can't reverse it. Overall, nothing is beyond the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Even to make green a ripe mango, it's within the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. But does it happen? To make a person immature, it doesn't happen. But it's within the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, he can turn him back to immaturity. He can do it. Nothing is beyond his Qudrat. But it doesn't happen. So the same happens here when he's reached that level of a relationship, we call him Sahib al-Niswat, Qawiyya. Then this is irreversible. Then he won't change, inshallah. In the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, he won't change. Like Nabi Samir announced for the Ashab Badr, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Do as you please, all your sins have been forgiven. Now that's some unique grace and a favor to the Ahl Badr. Do as you please. All your sins have been wiped out. Person that becomes a Sahib al-Nisbat, he's never complacent. He's never complacent, no. He's just worried about himself all the time. So he's like the duck that is in the water, you know, the water duck. So from the surface you watch him, there's no movement. I don't know if you've seen a water duck sailing through, how it's gliding through. From the surface you look, absolutely no movement, but it's swimming. You're seeing that, hey, there's a swift movement, it's just gliding through the water. But from within, he is doing a lot of paddling. So the Sahib al-Nisbat is, from within he is doing a lot of work. This is where many people went off. They felt, what's the difference between us? Mali hadha rasul ya'kulu ta'am wa yamshi fil aswaq. What's the difference between us? And the Nabi, he eats, we eat. He goes for his errands to the bazaars, we do the same. So what's the difference between us and him? So the one that is really a Sahib al-Nisbat, there's a lot of work that he's doing. But it is not for him to go and announce what he's doing. What's the need? Why must he go and announce? He doesn't have the need to go and announce, I ate biryani now. Must I go and announce to the whole world that I ate biryani? I ate for my own self, for my own, to sustain myself I've eaten. I don't need to go and brag about it and advertise to the whole world. So he knows he's doing it for his own self. To spiritually maintain him. He's doing it. And this is where many people went off. They saw, we don't see him doing much. I'm doing more than him. That is why nowadays, Abu Buzurg Anuddin recommend that you come for most people, 90% of the people, you come for short periods and go. Because if you're going to be staying for extended periods of time, there's going to be one of two problems. One problem may be, you will feel that you are doing much more than him. So takabbur will come into you. Hey, what he is doing? You will make tahqeer for him, and you will think yourself too much. When you want to see him, and you will see how less he is doing, so you will think that I am at a higher level than this person here. What is he doing? He is wasting time. So you will have suspicions against him. You will have a weak opinion in him. So that's going to be the means of your destruction. Or either you want to see that Buzurg, right? And you want to compare him to other Buzurg Anuddin. And you will say, hey, my Buzurg is the only Buzurg. These other people, they are a waste of time. You will write everybody off. See? You will compare him against others. When you want to compare him against others, then you are going to have reservations and suspicions against other Buzurg Anuddin. When you're going to have reservations and suspicions against them, then you're getting written off. Because, اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِ. You can't be having suspicion. And Allah Pak didn't appoint you to become a police. See what he's doing, what he's doing. Is he getting 10 out of 10, 5 out of 10? What you needed, you understand what you need. You're not a traffic officer. Don't consider yourself to be guiding the traffic, right? You stop and you move, you reduce your speed. That's not your work. What's your work? You are just a traveler on the road. You carry on smooth. Your work is not to guide the traffic. When your work is not to guide the traffic, then don't you go and judge people. You don't know what he's doing. Well, you don't know what he's doing, then why must you get into his business? You don't know what he's doing. What is his maqam by Allah Ta'ala? You don't know. Yes, maybe you don't agree with his style, so you don't agree, it's alright. But that doesn't mean if you don't agree with his style, then he's wrong. See, sometimes we come out very hard. If he's not in keeping with my style, my thinking, then he's wrong. I must write him off. Condemn the person. But Allah Pak didn't appoint you as a traffic officer. He didn't appoint you to mark people down. He didn't appoint you. So leave it. It's not your work. Don't get into it. See, in between I bring these things here. So I show you the mawani. What? In tariq, about 70-80% of the emphasis must be on mawani. What are the hurdles on the road, right? The hurdles, the impediments, right? The obstructions. I have to explain it to you. So simply put, you need to ask yourself, does this concern me or not? Concerns me, yes, I need to work on it. It doesn't concern me, then why must I go behind it? Why must I go and rule this person here, make judgment for that person, condemn this person, and give this person an applaud? It doesn't concern me. Yes, what concerns me, am I doing things right? So if I'm seeing myself, my eyes, is it right? My time, is it right? My ears, are they right? My tongue, is it right? My heart, is it right? So I'm going to keep a monitor over myself. That person, really, I'm not in charge of him. I'm not responsible for him. Lasta alayhim bimusaytir. You are responsible for this. So why are you pretending to be responsible? As Isa alayhi salam says, kunu ibadan. Be servants, be slaves. And don't appoint yourself as policemen over people. You are slaves of Allah Ta'ala, so remain slaves. My work is to slave, to serve Allah Ta'ala. Am I doing my work? Like it's an institute, right? Or it's a big industry, right? It's a plant, it's an industry. You have been appointed, right? So your answerability will be that what work has been assigned to you, are you doing that? That's your answerability. If you come to the boss and say, but this person is wasting his time, that person is lazing around, this person is not right, the boss will say, but are you accomplishing your duties? So the greater fikr, greatest concern, am I doing my thing? La yadurrukum man dhalla idha tadaytum. You carrying out your responsibilities, as Allah Ta'ala wants you, you carrying out all your responsibilities, the next person straying away will not harm you. But are you carrying out your responsibilities? First, understand what's your responsibility. If, for example, in your home, there's some wrong carrying on, you've got the influence, you've got the strength, are you stopping it? If you're not stopping it, then you're failing in your responsibility. So within the ambit of your responsibility, are you fulfilling things? That must be your primary concern. As long as you're doing this, these things will not harm you. But many a times when you get concerned and consumed into these things, then you leave out your responsibilities. Now, the news must come out with something, Apollo and Syria, whatever. So the whole world will be talking, what are we doing? It's often the bicharas, what are they doing? Everybody will be singing that song. But in retrospect, right, in contrast, parallel to this, look, daily, how many people are aborting their infant, innocent children, murdering them. Really, literally, they are murdering them. Are you concerned? Did you bat an eye? You're worried about those orphans, but those children that were absolutely innocent and that are being murdered by their own parents, did you ever bat an eye? That, is this right? Do these children deserve this type of a treatment? I'm doing this with my hands. My wife is doing it with her hands. And do we feel anything about it? Do we feel shaken about it? But yes, those people that are often in Syria, we're worried about it. So you see this, لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ظَلَّ إِذَا هَتَدَيْتُمْ. You are conforming 100%, and those people that are straying off, they will not cause harm to you. But are you watching yourself? Are you putting a monitor on yourself? So we're talking of the three categories of people that the buzur that is passing on, he will leave behind. One is those people that are called the Sahib al-Nisbat. So they're very strong in their ways. Call them Ahlullah, call them Sahib al-Nisbat, call them Allah Wala. So all will be one and the same. It's just a difference of name, right? You can call him a doctor, call him a physician, call him a medical practitioner. Everything comes to the same, isn't it? Is there anything different? Same thing. It's just different words. So Nisbat, or Ahlullah, Allah Wala. So all will point to the same direction. So one group of people that will leave will be like his deputies. They are very strong, very solid. They can't be shaken. Anything that goes in the world doesn't shake them. They remain glued to their positions. They are so strong. That's why one group of these people are called Qutub, right? Qutub is like a minara or kya kehte usko? On the top. A tower, like something like a tower, right? So you see it's steady like a column, a tower, so they're all steady, right? So that buzurg is called a kutub. Why is called a kutub? Because it's steady. One of the reasons, the Wajah Tasmiya, right? So one of the reasons is absolutely steady. He doesn't waver around. There's no fluctuations in him. Right? If they got their ma'mool, they stick to that. Wherever they are, whatever condition they are in, they are remaining stuck to that ma'mool of theirs. Hazarji Rahmatullahi, whether it was in Safar or Hazar, whether he's traveling or he's at home, one routine. If he doesn't sleep in the day, he's not sleeping in the day. That was like a miracle. You're not sleeping in the day, even whilst you're traveling. Or he may sit and he may just doze off a little bit, but a proper sleep during the day, you won't have it. And whether it is Safar, whether it is Hazar, at home or is abroad, same pattern. Eating, same pattern. So there will be no fluctuations. So these people are of that category. There is no fluctuation. They are carrying on steady, absolutely. As though they say, Rishta dar gardanam of ganda dost. Rishta dar gardanam of ganda dost, right? Har ja khai ruh kuni. As though the friend has put the rope over the neck. That Ahlullah is like that. As though Allah Ta'ala has put the rope over the neck. And wherever, which direction he wants to move, he moves him. Today you go this side, he goes that side. Tomorrow you go that side. Stay, he will stay. He is not concerned. Whether he is stuck in one place, 2 days, 3 days. Rishta dar afgandam, dar gardan afgandam, those. The friend has put the rope over the neck. Harja khai, as khatir khai ost. Wherever he wants to take you, he takes you. This direction takes you there. So you're not grumbling. Whether you're sitting here or you're sitting in Makkah Mukarrama, you're not grumbling. See this Ahlullah with their maqam. Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi, because of his firmness, etc., they don't waver, right? It was the time of the Usmani Khilafat. So they had some problem and they wanted to take him out of Makkah Mukarrama. So Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi says, it doesn't concern me, because Makkah Mukarrama is the Mazhar-e Jalal-e Ilahi. It is the exposition, the manifestation of the grandeur and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. The manifestation of the glory of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Right? And Madina Munawwara, Mazhar-e Jamal hai. That is the manifestation of His beauty. Or Khuda ka fazl hai, bande ko dono cheeze hasil hai. It is the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that I got the presence of the grandeur, the glory of Allah Ta'ala, and the beauty of Allah Ta'ala wherever I go. So if he thinks he's going to take me out of Makkah Mukarramah, and he's going to hurt me, then he's mistaken. So they're so firm, they're so strong in their ways, they don't waver. But one routine, they carry on that routine. They will never waver. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala only. Now and then there may be a mistake. They cannot say that they are Anbiya, that they will never stumble. They may make a mistake, but they realize the mistake straight away, they come back. They may make a mistake. Carry on and on. But you won't see them wavering. See, maintain that, and then maintain that as long as they are living. When you talk of Ma'mool, not only Zikr and Tasbihat, even showing a good character. One person, or these people, when they see a Buzurg, they will test him. Waqiyatan ye Buzurg hai ya nahi? Waqiyatan ye Buzurg hai ya nahi? One person come to Imam Madani Rahmatullah Ali and said, I was testing him out now. So he gave his hand into his hand and shaking the hand, right? So Nabi Sam's way was that he won't be the first one to pull away his hand. So he kept his hand like that, waiting to see what's going to be the response of Mulana. And Mula kept his hand like that for 1 hour. Hey, waqiyatan ye Buzurg hai. Now the takleef that he put him, he's not worried about that. But I need to test this man, whether he's a Buzurg or not. So you see these people, the weakness of their mind. That is a sunnah, he will keep staunch to the sunnah. But is it right for you to go and test him out? Go and try him out. One person invited one Buzurg, right? I won't mention his name. Invited the Buzurg. So he came to the house. So as he came to the house with the invitation, he changed him. Say, hey, who asked you to come to my house? Now, he's come right to the doorstep, and at the doorstep, this person says, but who asked you to come here? It's alright. Jazakallah, Assalamu alaikum, he went away. Not even 2 hours passed, Hazrat phoned him again. I got a dawat at my house, please come. Alright, dawat, to accept, to honor the invitation of a Muslim is a sunnah. So, in complying with the sunnah, I will come. They came again. As he comes to the doorstep, hey, but who asked you to come? You just come anyway, just walk up anybody's house without invitation. Who asked you to come? Did that for about 3, 4 times, 5 times. And then at the 5th time, he said, you know, I just tried to test your waqiyah. You know, really you are a buzurg. But make me maaf for all the inconvenience. So the buzurg told him, but really I'm not any buzurg. Now see, how he's keeping himself in check. You see, how he's keeping himself in check. How he's keeping himself in control. Akhlaq plus the inner code. You see, that's what I'm saying. La yadurrukum man dhalla idha hatadaytum. You need to keep yourself on check all the time. So he's not bloating about his achievement. Okay, he sees, man, I got so much of humility that someone chased me, then I went away. He called me again, I came back. He chased me. But he's keeping himself on check. He said, but I didn't do something great. It's nothing great, nothing to, not like a train smash that I've committed, that I've done. It's like a dog, you know, you throw the bone, then it'll come. And you pull it, it'll go away. You show him the bone again, it'll come again. And you pull it, it'll go again. So, it's not an achievement. It's what I've done. I haven't done anything great. Alright, you get this one class, I want to test the Buzurgs. You'll get all times. He mentioned the stories repeatedly. I've seen some other people also quoted the story. But I heard it directly from Hazrat Hamdali. Now, this type of a pattern started from that age. They want to test Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. Now, apparently, Hazrat says that Imam Sahib rahmatullahi is living on an upper story, right? So, it's about 30, 40, 50 steps now to go up right to his house. In the old days, the steps are not like our steps here, easily accessible. I know when we used to go to Darul Diyan for Sabak, right? One step is so high. Now you think to yourself that Shaykh al-Hadith used to be 75, 80 years old. I was managing it. But I remember the steps are so high, right? Now, that was the Damana, right? Imam Sahib is living on the upper floor. And this person knocks at the door. So Imam Sahib comes down. By which masla, koi masla hai, mujhe puchna tha. I needed to ask you some masla. As Imam Sahib comes down, old age, over 70, this person says, hey, I just forgot about it now. I just forgot about it. Alright, whenever you remember, Imam Sahib is gone up again. As he just rested for 10 minutes, knock again. Hazrat, hey, what a serious Muslim man. Came right down to this, right down to meet him, and just forgot about it again. He gave him the checker for about 10 times. After the 10th time, they say, yeah, now I got it right now. What is the taste of excreta? Sweet or is it bitter or something? So Imam Sahib Rahmatullahi, no facial expression, you know, not like he's angry, nothing, absolutely normal, calm, composed. There's no expression of anger on his face. So, well, I haven't tasted it, but what I understand is if it is fresh, it may be sweet. Right? As compared to when it's stale. What's your proof for that? See this type of people. And I'm telling you, when this Buzurgani, they go through a lot. So you don't know what they go through. You think that I'm reading 4-5 rakat namaz, hey, I'm scoring. What they're going through, I ask you, can you do that for one day? Impromptu, I caught you. Do it for one day. See what happened to you. Imam Sahib is over 74, 73, 74, and he's being tested out like this. Man is making him, give him the sprint from the top to the bottom. Or to or, ghair to ghair, right? If a stranger treats you like this, right, you will become very abrupt, very aggressive. If your wife, it will pull the whole roof down, right? Now, how much of sabr and endurance these people must have had? And this is the thing Allah Pak says, we will try you out. Well, we want to see your endurance. It's like this whole life is like an endurance race. When you analyze life, it's an endurance race. How endurant are you? How committed are you? All these halat will come, fluctuations, hard, difficult. A lot of things will come. Sometimes someone else is being favored. I'm being sidelined, right? They don't consider me, they respect him. When it comes to work, then I need to do the work. And when it's the favor, then he's getting the favor. So all these things will come in life. But how enduring, how strongly do you hold? That's what Allah wants to see. So he asked Imam Sahib, now what's your proof? So, well, this is my discretion I'm using. I cannot say it's conclusive. But my understanding is that when it's fresh, you see the flies sitting over it. As compared to when it's dried out. Now the person was, hey, really, Hazrat, you are a great imam, great buzrug, make me maaf, you know. I just wanted to see the level of your endurance. But he made the man, old man, walk 10 times or 20 times up, down like this. And to come and ask a thing like this. What would have happened to us? Impromptu, someone got you, what would have happened to you? So anyway, this is the first category. You call them the Ahlullah. They never waver, they never change. They are like in control of themselves all the time. Like a pillar. Keep them, like I said, Rishta, dar gardan of gandam dost, right? He's just put the neck, the collar over my neck, right? Wherever he wants to take me, he takes me. And on my side, really, there's no complaint. Why he took me here? Why he left me here? No. Like you see, you're traveling on a horse. You're traveling, and you unmount it, you tie it, you fasten it. It remains fastened. Again, you're moving, and you fasten it, it's fastened. So you remain so trained, so docile. Now that's the type of behavior Allah wants, that at any given time, whatever I want, you're just doing it. That's called fana. You know, you say fana. So you've got no intention, no desire of your own. What the friend wants, that's your desire. His desire is your desire. His decision is your move. So, of your own, there's no decision, there's no movement, there's nothing of your own. He says it and will let you do it. He just gives the instruction and you do it. So that's called fana. And this comes, to say it, it's very easy, but it comes after a lot of difficulty. 30 years, sometimes 50 years also, it doesn't come. Some people, it comes in very quickly, they understood it, when they understood the concept, and Allah's grace also has got them, so they just get it. And the others, 50 years, 60 years, they are struggling, not doing. So I was talking about Urush Sharif and all these things started off, right? So the second class of people that the Sheikh left, right, are those people that are moderate, like average now. They're doing some work, making zikr, tasbihat, slipping up. Sometimes they're doing it, sometimes they're not doing it. Sometimes they're blowing their top, angry, etc. Sometimes they calm. So this is the second class. They're still under service. They're still getting serviced. They're not yet fully serviced. So one is complete. And the second was they're still under training. So that's the second class that he leaves behind. Then the third class he leaves behind that forms the majority are the new people, the new arrivals. They've just come in, right? Now in the meanwhile, he's got these three categories. One, that have perfected and staunch, they are steadfast. Second, those that are just bordering and balancing. And the third are the newcomers, they've just come in. Now as he's passed away and he's gone, now who's going to perfect and who's going to work on these people here? Right? The average class and the beginning, who's going to work on them? Like imagine you start out the madrasa, the ustads are all gone now. Now who's going to continue? So there is a need now for this silsila, for this work to continue. Right? When there is a need for this to continue, because the staunch and the strong, right, they will need to dispense the hidayat, the direction that their Shaykh gave them, right? That's their duty. Because he rooted them, he made them strong, he panel beated them. When they needed that panel beating, he panel beated them. So he gave them the shape, he gave them the direction. They are strong, they are like pillars, they are like columns. They will not waver. Or any circumstance, they will not waver. So now, the first class will need to give direction to the second. The second are still working up. They are under service yet. So they need a direction all the time. They need to be corrected all the time. Right. Then the most amount of direction that will be required will be the beginning class. Because for them to stray away is very easy. They just came in. So got a taste and the buzruk is gone. So now these people felt to themselves, the buzruk is gone, he's not going to come back. There's no reverse. To death there's no reverse. When there's no reverse to death, then you need an old worker's jor. You need an old worker's jor to get all the workers and redirect them. See, this redirection is so important. And in that redirection, just to make us understand a picture of the redirection, correcting us, pruning us, correcting us, the additions and the commissions, etc., redirecting. Mulana was telling me that in the farm there, that a lychee tree, it was so leafy, what if for 10, 15 years, absolutely not one fruit. But that thing is leafing, but no fruit. So he cut it by 3/4. That were all the branches, everything. Then the season came. When the season came, Mulana says that what he left out for 15 years, that 1 year he did all the kaza. You know, 15 years kaza, fruit and bird and bird and bird. So what you understand, that man needs to be pruned all the time for him to be fruitful. See, where we go off, say, oh, the other jacked me up. Eh? You know, I see he was directing me. You know, someone else has hinted, so he's just directing, he's gunning me down. But whether he's gunning you down or not, are you getting pruned down or not? That's the idea, to get pruned out. Because if you don't prune, then you're not going to produce. If I'm doing a disservice, I'm not going to prune you out. So the Shaykh's duty is to tell you, bhai, what you're doing is wrong. Bewakufi karte ho. You're doing a stupid thing. You're not supposed to be doing this. So he needs to be pruning you down all the time. There'll be exceptions to the case, you know. When I started the madrasa, around 1979-80 at home, you know. So, you're young now, so you're a little more active. Shout, hit and all that. Right? But I remember still, there were some one, two boys that I don't think I even shouted them. There were those that every day we forgive them. Until they didn't get that morning tea or something, they couldn't perform, right? But there were those, the whole career, not a single day they needed a shouting, not a single day they needed to be hit. Alhamdulillah, they completed the hifz. So that's an exception to the rule. But most people, they need the pruning, right? Most people need it. So they don't see the direction. If you don't prune them, you don't correct them, they don't see it. They don't want to see it. They don't take the time. Kamru Zaman was there. So he's saying the same thing. But the important thing after we've discussed, right, discussed, you have to sit in solitude and make takrar of the whole thing. Revise it. Alright, this is what they discussed, this is what they discussed. Where am I going off? Am I on course, off course? Or do I need some fixing up? So you see that second group, this group here, needs to be pruned and corrected all the time. And the third group, they need a lot of attention. When they need a lot of attention, so you needed some pretext to call everybody and realign them. For now, one person is living in Maritzburg, other person is living in Stanger, someone is coming from Joburg, someone coming from Ladysmith. Now, you needed some type of a pretext to get everybody to realign them, put them back onto the line, to the cause. Now, when you need to bring them all onto the cause, then you needed some type of an emotional thing to call them, right? You just come, hey, there's a jor only. You see, there's a jor, there's a get-together. There's nothing that is emotional about the whole thing, right? So they needed some type of an emotional thing to get all these people together. The intention is to get them on cause. Right? Now, some emotional, it must be an emotional vibe, an attraction that's emotional. So the thing that hurts them and touches the murid is the demise of the sheikh. He died on this day. So now that's a pretext, grabbing on Urus. Urus is the date that the sheikh passed away. Right? Our sheikh, and what a man he was. People say, you can't replace him. All these type of things they will say, right? So that was the best card that they could offer to attract everybody. So the idea is to get them back to line. And I said, like old workers' jor, to get them all online. Now, how do you get everybody back onto line? That was an easiest way. We're having an urus. But that urus, what was that urus to get them back onto line? Now, when they got them now, they'll have a 3 weeks, 4 weeks session they'll have. In that 4 weeks now, they understand that the first group needs to do the dispensing of the guidance. The second group has to come on, teach them, correct them. And the third group will have to be corrected even more. And when they were correcting in that time, they were not correcting just one thing, akhlaq. But this person is going to Shiaism to correct him. That person is moving towards Qadianism to correct him. That person is moving towards some other firqa-e batila, some other straight group. So we need to correct him. This person is not doing his namaz right. This person, his wuzu is not yet right. He's a murid, yeah, but his wuzu is not yet right. Then how can his namaz be right? So we need to get this person's wuzu right, his namaz right, his beliefs are all corrupt, he's going to Qadianism. Now we need to show him where he's going off. So they would have a 3-4 weeks session. In a 3-4 weeks session, his aqidah is right. At least the maktab level things are going. He's getting his aqidah right. Where his wuzu wasn't right, his wuzu is coming right. Primary basic things of namaz, that's coming right. Things connected to akhlaq, etc., they're getting that right. So this first group is getting corrected in this manner. The second group is getting corrected according to their requirements, right? And you see what was the basis of the urus in that time. So they get together to work on this first and the second group. The middle class and the primary class. It was a get together to get them on. And now to get them on at the primary levels and at the middle class, I'll ask you, what was it? Was it just an optional thing or was it like a compulsory thing? The person's aqidah was going completely off. His belief was totally off. He was right off, complete. His namaz, wuzu, everything was off. He didn't know anything about it. Akhlaq, he didn't even know. He was robbing and cheating. So we had to get him on, make him realize, conscientize him. He was flirting with women. So we need to get him right. He didn't even know these things are haram. So we need to get him right. Mind you, there were some similar things. Even in Cape Town, until recently, until the 70s or so, many people there didn't even identify with akhirat, this is life after death. They had no belief of life after death. Imagine akhirat, the Quran Sharif, the whole theme is about life after death. They didn't have the belief of life after death. Now, do you see this need? Right. So anyway, now, this urus started off with this name. Now, why the word urus? I told you that urus is the death anniversary. The word urus actually is like a wedding, right? It is called urus. It's like a wedding, or sometimes they use it for a bride, right? So they chose this word here because the hadith says when that person is completed with the whole procedure in the grave. In the grave, you know, you ask the three questions, the whole procedure is over. And then everything opens out. Jannat windows are opening up, your friends there, your woman, everything is opening up, right? As they're opening up, then the malaika say, relax. You know, you've taken off and the plane is going, moving straight now, right? Take your seats and relax. So everything, all the procedures are over. So the malaika saying, now relax. Sleep. And sleep, not just ordinary sleep. Sleep like a bride. Nobody will disturb. Nobody will inconvenience. See the roses this side, some mitai that side, some chocolate this side, right? Allah Pak make maaf, some music that side, right? Everything is working out. So the malaika saying at that time, relax. Nam ka naumatil arus. The malaika telling you like that, right? So now they coined this word here, urus, from this word of the hadith. But you see its beginnings. So the beginnings were right. But then as the time progressed, right? Now this is the point that I need to, I brought this whole introduction, but this is what I need to discuss with you today, right? As the time progressed, what happened? People preserved the pretext, the face, the whole outer face, like how Christianity, the face of Christianity they preserved. Jesus, Mary, etc., they preserved all that, right? But the essence of Christianity, they went and killed it. So the pretexts, they had preserved it. The face of this Buzurganuddin, they saved that. But what was the mission of this Buzurganuddin? What was their work? They went and made kachumar of it. They messed it up. Not even kachumar. They went and destroyed the whole essence. Now you go and see these things here. Sometimes it's just a kawali show. Or sometimes say, hey, that kebab there is like a karamat. You know, you'll never get it anywhere in the world. Some of my friends tell me these things. You go there and get the kebabs. You never get. So it's like a kebab show or a musical show there. Some concert going on. Someone reading on naat. That's the end of that urus. So you see the face was preserved, but the essence of it was destroyed. Understand? Now, this is what happens in deen. Sometimes, we after the face, just the cover. We after the structure. But what's the essence that's supposed to be in it? That essence has been destroyed. See? That's why we need to, when there's a genetically modified, then you need, kya kehte hai usko? Organic, yeah. So then you need one person to come up with organic. So people begin to realize that this genetically modified is just a face. Face, in other words, it's got the taste of a chicken. But does it have the stamina, it has its strength, etc.? It's a battery egg, right? It's just got a face of an egg. But does it have the stamina, the strength, the power, it has, does it have it? Nothing. So they will need that group to come introduce that organic. Organic, the importance of organic, right? So these people here, this Mujaddideen, the effort, the whole fikr, the whole concern is to bring that organic, the original thing. But this is just a front. Don't get fooled with the front. Don't get lost, don't get deceived. This is just a front. It just looks like that. But is it, does it contain anything? It doesn't contain anything. Come with the original thing. Because the promises of Allah Ta'ala are with the origin, not with the face. The promises of Allah Ta'ala is with the origin, not with the name. It's not with the face, not with the name. It's bring the original thing. لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَاكِ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. This whole story that I've given now is contained in this verse. It's not the name. It's not the structure. Allah doesn't want that meat. لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا. Allah doesn't need the blood. He doesn't need that. What he needs? He wants to see this. How good this is. This is what Allah wants to see. So many a times what happens to us is we just want to see that outwardly we are conforming or not. And why we want to see that we are conforming outwardly is in the sight of people we are not disgraced and embarrassed. Right? you're doing any financing? Yeah, I'm doing Islamic financing. Islamic financing. Just give a Islamic word, so it doesn't sound that you are doing something wrong. So outwardly you must seem to be right. Whether you're doing it right or you're not doing it right, that's a different thing altogether. But outwardly, just give it a cover, give it a gloss, give it a polish. Outwardly, you must seem to be doing things 100%. So Allah Pak's promises are not with this. Allah Pak's promises are with something else altogether. I just got about 6 minutes just to round up, right, what I'm getting at. Let's look at the promise of Allah Ta'ala. You know, Allah Pak's promise of victory, Allah Pak's promise of help, Allah Pak's promise of peace, Allah Pak's promise of assistance is with what? Not with a name, not with your numbers, not with your wealth, then it is with certain values. You bring that value, you bring that, and Allah will give it to you. So now you say, no, I am Muhammad, and I am Ismail, and I am Yusuf, and I need the help of Allah Ta'ala. No, not working. I got the namaz, not working. By bring that essence of that namaz, for that thing to strike, you bring that real essence of the namaz will strike. But you just bring the body of the namaz, there's no essence in it, and you want the thing to work for you. How is this? How do you expect it to work? Like our dua, right? Muhammad Shafi says, it's just a repetition of words, some words we learned. But the essence of dua has been destroyed because we're not asking, we're not begging Allah Ta'ala. Say, Rabbana taqabbal minna. But I ask 80% or 90% of the people, are they identifying the words they're reading? So dua is to beg, not to read. But how we have misconstrued it, that dua is just reading little words. That's the grace of Allah Ta'ala that is accepting this as well. Otherwise we have killed the spirit of dua. So just to illustrate this point here, just giving one incident, it's an illustration, right? One person has come to Medina Munawwara for ziyarat. Completed the ziyarat, and they're coming to Makkah now, they have to go for Hajj. People's routes are different. I suppose in the old days, depending from what route you are coming, camelback, they're traveling on, according to what route you are taking, perhaps Medina was on the way, so they did the ziyarat, and as they left Medina Munawwara, 50, 60 kilometers away now, camelback, horseback, and one sati realized that someone told me to convey salams to Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I slipped up, I totally forgot about the whole thing. Now, they realized at that time that the promises of Allah Ta'ala are with the truth, honesty, loyalty, respect. These are the things that bring about the help of Allah Ta'ala. So he knows, now, all right, it's an undertaking, it was a promise. And Allah will not at all be happy that I promised this person here, I didn't fulfill. Although it was a mistake, I forgot, and although it is not compulsory for me to go back. But really, it was an undertaking that I will convey salams to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is it in keeping with the standards of truth and honesty, loyalty and faithfulness, that I just go away, I don't even bat an eye? He excused himself. Satis are saying, "By you know, you were traveling in the wilderness, one man. Now, come what may, I took this undertaking, I will go and deliver. I will go and convey. I'm one man, Allah Pak is with me. Allah Pak's assistance is with values. It is with the truth. It is with honesty. It is with loyalty. It is with sincerity." Look in the Quran Sharif. Nowhere you'll find the Quran, "Inna Allah ma'al hajjin." Do you see any in the Quran? "Inna Allah ma'al mu'tamirin. Fa ayyuhal afriqa i'tamiru kulla sanatin." Do you find that even in the Quran? "Inna Allah ma'al musallin." Do you find that? But with values, Allah Pak's promise, "Inna Allah ma'al ladheena attaqaw wal ladheena hum muhsinun. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin." So it's all to do with the sifat, with this inner loyalty. You know, we're talking of loyalty, respect, faithfulness, sincerity. So the help of Allah Ta'ala is connected with this. We're talking of Iran, Turan, Sham, everywhere. But how do we draw the assistance of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Pak is saying, it comes with this. So he understands, I need to get the help of Allah Ta'ala. I want an accepted Hajj, but I need to be truthful. I need to be honest. I need to be sincere. I need to fulfill, to call the trouble, went back. Conveyed the salams. So and so person asked me to convey salams on his behalf to you, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I convey salams on his behalf. And now he's exhausted, traveled so much, he's exhausted. So he just put his head down and he's gone. He's fast asleep. In his sleep, he sees Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You see, Allah Pak wants a small little bit of sacrifice and Allah Pak will give after that. He said, you showed your truth, you showed your mettle, you showed your honesty, you showed your loyalty. Now, tune kya tere shan ke muafik. You have done according to your levels. Main to mere shaya shan ke saath dunga. Shaya shan ke saath main dunga. I will give according to my grandeur. I will give to according to my respect, my grandeur, my majesty. What are you? What you have done is little, but main to apne shaya shan ke muafik main dunga. I will give. And according to my shan, I will give it. According to my splendor, my grandeur, my greatness, I will give it. There's one sleep, he sees Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then not only does he see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, Ya Abul Wafa. He's greeting him, congratulating him with the title, O Father of the Faithful. He saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wasn't that great enough? And you see when Allah gives, Chappar tor karke deta hai. When he gives, you won't have room in your home to take this grace. So much he will give. He will give, and he will give, and he will give. But you, are you fulfilling your side of the bargain? You want the help of Allah Ta'ala, but there is a criteria. Are you fulfilling? Are you doing? The second assistance of Allah Ta'ala comes in. Ya Abul Wafa. So he says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, but my name is so-and-so, Abbas or something, whatever the name was. Said, no, you are Abul Wafa, whatever reason. Right? And then after that, now Nabi Sam takes me by the hand and he escorts me to all this happening in the dream. The Haram Sharif in Makkah Mukarrama. I open my eyes to see myself in Makkah Mukarrama in the Haram Sharif. Third assistance of Allah Ta'ala. You see that? See this assistance of Allah Ta'ala. You want that assistance. But there's a procedure, there's a way. You want a passport, there is a way. Oh, Thangka Sharif, make an application, you'll get things right. So there's a procedure in place. You follow the procedure, you'll get things. But you say, no, I'm staying in Beach here. I don't need to go anywhere. I must get my passport in my hand. It won't happen. You can cry as much as you want. You're not going to get it. You have to go there, humble yourself, follow that line, do whatever else, temperance, whatever, and you'll get that passport, right? But you don't want to follow procedure. I must get, Allah must just do for me. Allah says, I got everything. But are you following procedure? In your business, you follow procedure. You want your staff to follow procedure. My business, and you don't want to follow, don't want to respect my procedure. In your business, which I am providing the barakah, there you want so much of procedure. And what I ask, there you don't respect my procedure. So the third favor. I am sitting in the Haram Sharif, in Makkah Mukarrama, and only 8 or 10 days later, his kafla is coming in. See that? So this, what I'm getting at, is sometimes with the passage of time, what happens to us, is we just preserve the front, the pretext, the front, the face, but the very essence, the spirit of it is destroyed. The spirit of Islam, the ruh of Islam, the true intrinsic values, they all are destroyed. And we aren't even concerning ourselves that do I have the spirit? You give someone an ice cream without sugar, he's going to eat it. Honey without sweetness, are you going to buy that? It's got the texture, it's got the color, it's got everything else, but no sweetness. Are you going to take it? You feel so betrayed, so robbed about it. He gave me honey, but no sweetness. You bought a whole consignment from China. And you landed here, no sweetness. It's got everything. It's got the color, it's got the bottle, it's got the name, 100% pure honey. Everything is got. But landed and you open the one bottle, no sweetness, absolutely no sweetness. I say, how cheated don't you feel? So how do you want Allah Ta'ala to accept your things? When there is no ruh, there is no essence, there is no sweetness in that. And then you want Allah Ta'ala to accept, really, we aren't being fair. Really we are robbing, really we are betraying, we are cheating. Yeah? We are conning, trying to con who? Allah Ta'ala. And we want our things to work out. So this is the cry of the time. This is the need of the time. See, when there is a thing in need, then it's valued the most. When something has become extinct, or something is being rationed, right? So now everybody is wanting it. Just a few. Sugar is just 10 kilos, right? So you'll find queues and queues lining up for the sugar. Because it's just 10 kilos. And we need our sugar for the house. How are we going to make, how are we going to manage? So you'll have queues and queues. Why? Because the sugar has become extinct. This is the only sugar that's available. So what's extinct in us today is these true values. The facial, alhamdulillah, I don't say that the facial is not important. I don't say the outward is not important. Allahumma aj'al sirri khayran min alaniyati. Waj'al alaniyati saliha. To get the face correct is also important. If you just have the spirit of namaz, you're performing namaz, I ask you, the namaz will be accepted. You have the spirit, khushu, khudu, humility, submission, but you're not doing any of the postures. Will your namaz be valid? The namaz will not be valid. But all I'm saying is don't be content just with those structures, physical structures. Be more concerned about the essence, the life, the thing that will bring about life. Right? Allah Pak Tawfiq.